welcome to the Abbotloop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
That's what we're going to be singing in heaven. That's what the angels are singing already. I just want to encourage us this morning that from a passage in Romans, it says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is a season where we reflect on that sacrifice that our God, our Creator, made for us, and just the love that He had to come and humble Himself as a baby and take the form of a human, which was His creation, just to come and save us, to redeem us, to be able to live with us forever, and that honor that it is for us to be loved in such a way. And in John 4:10, it says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and that He sent His Son for us as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And it also says in John that we love because He first loved us. And it's not something that we can do in our own flesh as love like that. Amen. It's not something we can conjure up or discipline ourselves into doing. It's only when we truly reflect on that love, that perfect love that He has for us, even in our own sin, that He would come at that time and meet us in that place, so that it doesn't have to do with performance. It doesn't have to do with what, how good we are, how much people around us deserve to be loved. It has much more to do with the fact that we've been loved in that great way. So this week, I just encourage all of us to be thinking about just the love of God, that Jesus would come. And that's the reason He came, is because He loved us. And asking God to just work that love in me and show me more of Your love. So Father God, we just ask You right now to do that in us. Lord, You are holy. You are good. But God, You are love. And that's the way You want to describe Yourself to us. And so right now, we just ask You to give us a deeper revelation of Your love for us, Lord. God, that we would know that we could allow that love to flow through us and be used, Lord, in that way that You want us to reach out to the people around us, show them Your love and share that with them, Lord. And so just help us. Give us revelation in Jesus' name.
Did we freeze up back there?
Okay.
We had a frozen computer. It's so cold, the computers are freezing. Hey, I have two waters. It's multiplication. It's like the jars with the widow. Just keep filling up. Well, hallelujah. Good to see you. There's other good stuff. Join us for prayer and other kinds of good things. And welcome to Abbotloop. Hey, man, you guys are in a different spot. Come on now. Look at this. We're mixing it up today. You guys going to change it up? We're going to like mix up the seating arrangement? That's exciting stuff. So if you're new, we have a free coffee for you, a coffee card, and you can fill out the back here and go turn it in. Our coffee shop is just out the door, down the street to the left. You can get those that are, you know, not the in the hallway. Don't go out to the street. That one. You'll eventually find a coffee shop if you go out to the street, but it's a long way. Stay in the building. Take a left. You'll find it down there at the bottom. We got a little coffee space down there. So welcome. And hey, I just want to encourage you that we do have a new format for our giving. It's really a new old format. Our church is really built on this format, is that we have our offering boxes here on the back and the sides of the rooms. And so we're not in the mode of taking up offerings every single week. We're trusting that you as faithful members of the body of Christ are going to give where your heart is, give faithfully. Amen. We have online giving so you can give regularly. And again, when you give with your credit card, the credit card company does not take a percentage of your gift. Okay? So it's a safe way for us to give. And there's a, you know, the flat service fee that we pay, that we already pay to be able to use that function. So you can set that up online. You can also give to our missionaries online. But encourage you to keep giving. Amen. Especially at the end of the year here going on. We got our big building project that's happening. Tons of expenses and all kinds of new fantastic miracles that we're discovering in our building that were placed there by glorious volunteers many, many years ago. Could be careful now. And we're thankful. It's been working for a long time, Pastor, right? And but we're in the middle of overhauling all that. We've been digging in the electrical system, and let me tell you, we found some good stuff there. Some good stuff. Needs to be upgraded, updated, and redone. So thank God for all the volunteers who put this thing together and made it work. We're going to get it all back up to snuff, and we're going to get it up to code. And so anyway, please give faithful, give regular, give with your whole heart to the Lord. And anyway, that's good. So you did see, and you guys got handed these connection dealios. So what we're trying to do is, whoa, careful now. I don't want to be falling over. Is we really need to update all of our information since our collapse and all of the chaos that's gone on. We actually have a new system that we're converting over to try to help, you know, keep everybody connected. And so if you could fill this out before you leave today, probably not, preferably not when I'm preaching, but maybe after when I'm done, you could take notes on some other piece of paper. Because if you're filling this out, then I'm going to think you're taking notes, and then I'm going to be sad when it's just this. So anyway, fill this sucker out and drop it in one of the baskets in the back, right? There's baskets in the back, and that'll be really, really helpful for us. Before I get started preaching today, I really want to take a moment to just pray for those folks in Connecticut where this horrible tragedy has taken place in that elementary school. And I really don't want to get into talking about it right now because then I won't be able to preach. So let's just pray for them. Let's reach our hearts out to those families and let's do that in faith. Lord, we just can't explain some of these things, God, that happen here in our world. And we are asking you, Father God, to reach in, God of comfort, God of healing, to come in and heal hearts, touch people, and draw them into you. God, I pray the desperate will run to you. Jesus, I pray that your love will cover. Your love will just abound. And Father, we're asking for you to just minister deeply to these individuals that have been, their worlds have been absolutely train wrecked by this horrible tragedy and act of violence. God, we ask, God, that you will just somehow bring this community together and knit them together and help them, comfort them, and use them in unity to care for one another to get through this suffering. God, we lift our faith up and we ask that, God, you will just reach your hand out and minister to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, I'm going to say this real quick. Just real quick, and then I'm going to move on to preach. You need to protect yourself. Can I say this as a community? That you as a responsible, important member of this community, we have the right to bear arms. It's one of our constitutional rights. I'm not trying to get into some political message right now, but this is why we need to protect ourselves. Can I just leave it at that and say if we protect ourselves and guard ourselves, then when evil people do evil things, that we might be able to help protect one another as a community. So please don't, you know, get lost and not hear the word today, because I didn't show up here to like talk about gun control and other kinds of political things. But there's a reason why that's one of our freedoms, because this kind of stuff happens and bad people get bad things and bad things in their heads. And we need to protect one another and ourselves. Amen. Okay, so anyway, let's somehow jump out of that, and we're going to come back to this series on Nehemiah, and we're really going to be, can we do my slides? Oh, wait, the computer froze. Did we get it back? Oh, yay, praise the Lord. Oh, phew. Okay, so we've been just working through the book of Nehemiah, and we're really in chapter 3 where they're getting started rebuilding these walls. And we talked about how we assess all of this and how we look into ourselves and look for the places in ourselves where we need to grow, where we need to take personal responsibility and fill in the gaps in a sense with God moving through our lives, helping us grow through our own sin, our own dysfunction. And really last week I was just making a plea, like, what do you want? Do you desire the fruit that comes from living in sin, or do you desire the fruit that is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that which is promised to us in this new covenant life? And so we have that opportunity to do that. And today the title of my message is Side by Side. That we have the opportunity to do that kind of life together. We have the opportunity to do that kind of life side by side. And as we look in the story of Nehemiah in chapter 3, I'm really going to skim through this whole chapter because we just get lost reading all the words. But in this chapter and a part of the story in Nehemiah, we see them get out and actually start to work together. So go ahead and hit the next slide here. I'm going to read this passage. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. We belong to each other. And each of us needs all the others. So you might have come in here thinking you didn't belong anywhere, but you do. You belong to the body of Christ. If you have Christ living in you, then you belong to one another. Can we do the next scripture too? 1 Peter 2:5, and now God is building you as living stones into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy priests who offer the spiritual sacrifices that pleases him because of Jesus Christ. That was sketchy. I could almost barely read those there. Got a nice screen in the back here. You're as living stones. And you need one another. We're designed to need one another, right? So let's go to the next slide. This is Jerusalem. And this is, at the time of Nehemiah, it's pretty blurry. The time of Nehemiah, there was that no one had contacts. And there was no ability to really, correct, impaired vision. And so this is through the lens of a shepherd on a hill looking down, who had 250 or something like that. Yeah. Stigmatism, that's right. Yeah. And so imagine sharper edges and a much clearer picture. But you see the shape here. We can go to the next slide, which is much better. There you go. How do you like that? All right. Yeah, that was good. All right, so you can see the shape of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem that they were trying to repair were. And It was miles around, almost 5 miles around, basically. And there was a lot of work to do and all kinds of gaps and gates and holes in the wall. And in this story is a really beautiful picture of how they didn't just have a team of professionals, equipped and work their way all the way around the entire city and leave it to the professionals. They didn't do it that way. And they didn't go like, that's just not my gig. I don't do building stuff. I'm not good at that. I can't paint. I can't, move rubble. I don't touch dung gates, right? I mean, that's not my gig. They didn't do that. And we're going to just walk through a highlight here of what they really did is they all came out together to build this wall simultaneously, all at the same time, all the way around, all at the same time. And so when Nehemiah and the people, the Israelites built the walls, they built it all the way around, all at the same time. So the walls and the gates and everything came up at the same time. Side by side, they worked as they built it. You can just leave this slide up, and I'm just going to touch here, is that we see here we have the high priests. They started to build the sheep gate. So the priests, even the priests, man, they get out And they're going to go build the sheep gate. The fish gate was built by the sons of Hanesaniah. And then there's this grandson, Zadok of Banana Man. Yeah, you do it. All right. Next were the people of wherever. And they did that. And they built this old city gate. And then we see the repairs are made by the priests in the surrounding regions. That we see grandmas and grandpas and men and women. And it goes on and on of all different diverse types of trades. All just scatter out. Nehemiah gets them together and says, let's build. Let's do this. And they're all fired up. And we know that because when they get halfway and we look in chapter 4, I'm just going to skip all that. There's a lot of just detail in there. In verse 6, he says, At last, the wall was completed to half of its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. That's a great word. I used to teach my kids about enthusiasm when they were younger, and they kind of got it out of control. They would go crazy. I taught them about the character trait of enthusiasm, that the enthusiasm's like having a good attitude, even doing something that you don't want to do. Usually enthusiasm is needed when you're doing a task that isn't fun, like the guys that had to clean up the dung gate. Everybody's like, everybody wants a different job, except for you walk out front and you go, why'd I have to be living in front of the dung gate? You know, because they came out of their houses and where they lived in the city is where they worked. Right? Come on now. So they walked out and they're like, why did I make my home in front of the dung gate? Sorry, buddy, that's your job. I'm going over here to the sheep gate. All right. But they did it. It says they all did it with enthusiasm. And my kids used to go crazy. I'm like, come on now, let's get some enthusiasm. And they would stop working. And they all just go, hoo, 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 and this place would go crazy. And I'm like, okay, enthusiasm with work. Right? Yeah. We don't just freak out and waste all our energy doing nothing, but just gorilla hooking at each other, you know? So fun be it, but not productive. So we see these people working on all kinds of things that they were not trained, equipped, set up for. They didn't like have all the tools like ready, waiting around with their carpenter's bag to go, or their masonry bag to go build a wall. It was just average people with specific gifts and traits. And just like it said in Romans there, that like, we're all unique. We're all parts of the body. We all have specific uniqueness to us. But God's made us to serve one another and to work together for a great outcome. And when we look at just our own church lives, if we think about our own lives together, of all the things that there are to do to build a spiritual house, a spiritual community that glorifies God and brings glory to His name and makes an impact in a city, and we see people's lives change, transform, you know, coming to know Him and growing in His love, right? And knit in, and they go, man, this church family, this is like no other place that I've ever been. Like when I walk in here, I feel like I'm at home. This feels like a real family. That's the way church life is supposed to be. Not, well, I went in, I got my thing, and I walked out. It's not like going to the movies. You're not coming to the movies when you come here. You're coming to your family. And it's all of our responsibility. There's to make this a family. And so this is my first point is here, is that I want each one of us to know that all of us are part of the body, and each one of us is called to walk out of our front door and do common things, that biblical things that might not be in our special gifts, but we're all called to do them together, side by side, side by side. What are those things? What are those key things, right? That's what we need to know. But I'm not going to tell you. Not yet. Right away, they're building the wall up halfway. We got these jokers from the outside causing all kinds of problems. Sam Ballett and Tobiah. And these guys coming in and they're causing all kinds of dissension and problems and actually threatening the people. And so what they have to do here in verse 16, chapter 4, but from then on, okay, when the enemies heard that we knew, verse 15, sorry, that their plans that God had, okay, wait a second.
When our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. But from then on, only half of my men worked while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, coats of mail. And the leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and the other holding a weapon. All the builders and had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. Then I explained to the nobles and the officials and all the people, the work is very spread out, and we all are widely separated from each other along the wall. Then, when you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to whoever is sounding it, then our God will fight for us. We worked early and late from sunrise to sunset, and half of the men were always on guard. And I told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way they had their servants. That way they and their servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. During this time, none of us, not I or my relatives or my servants or the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. That's disgusting. We carried our weapons with us all the time, even when we went for water. So these guys were stinky. These folks made significant sacrifice to protect one another. They made a significant sacrifice to protect one another and to make sure that no gaps, in any of the gaps, that anything was going to overrun their walls. Because they'd lived for years and years and years, folks, being just overrun all the time. No walls, no protection. And at this moment, they could see it. If we just come together, if we just work hard together with enthusiasm, and we come together in unity to accomplish this task, no matter what our best gifts are, we come together and we just contribute to this common work that will protect us all, that will help us all be a nation, be a holy nation, be a nation that can glorify God. If we show that this next slide here, this is probably too blurry to really see. Yeah. So imagine in this, we tried. The internet doesn't provide the highest megapixels. This is so bad. Can you guys see any of that? That's all right. It's okay. On this picture, it's actually a cool picture where they have tools and they're all working hard, and then you can see they've got their swords and they've got their tools working in their hands at the same time. You know that this slowed them down, but they were prepared. They were prepared for what was coming. And listen, the Bible says that in the new covenant, in our lives together, you can get off of that one, whatever's next. It's bothering me. There you go. Yay. Is that in our life together, we have this enemy that is out there. And he's roaring around like a lion to see whom he may devour. And you and I have to realize that there is an enemy on the outside trying to infiltrate our ranks and trying to get us to have some kind of gap, some kind of burned gate, some kind of division among us, to get us to turn against one another so that we're no longer accomplishing the things that God has destined us to do, which is to lead people to Him and make those disciples and help them grow in Christ. And I just want to say this, that I believe there are genuinely gaps in the church. There are gaps in between us. There's holes in our gates. There's burned down gates. And this literally has to do with our character. What do we as individuals bring to the church? What do we bring here? What do we contribute when we come? Not just to services. Our services are where we all fellowship together and worship God together and glorify Him. Then we go out to do the work. What do we say about one another when we're not together? When we spread out to do the work, right? Like they all spread out around the whole city, around this whole, the whole perimeter, and they're all working, and they couldn't, Nehemiah couldn't monitor everybody, and there's people that are all spread out, and some people are like, I don't want to be monitored. I got it. You know, they're like, I'm good. They're all working. And what was the thing that allowed them and allowed Nehemiah to say, go out and do it? Just, I trust you to go out and do this work. It was Nehemiah's desire to fulfill the will of God, to fulfill the purposes of God, was so strong in his heart and so strong in all the people that they wanted to see their nation be what God designed it and destined it to be. We have a destiny on our church. The whole church that is alive in the entire world right now has a specific destiny for this time frame. God is trying to do something specific. He always has been and always will be. And he wants to do something specific through us. There are souls that need to be saved. People that need to be discipled. People, this is it. There's nothing else. If you're everything else beyond that is an extension. And it's supposed to be designed to actually affect people's lives. Your life is destined to affect someone else's life. Therefore, you must make room for that person to be in your life. This is an inconvenience. You walk out of your door and we all spread out around the entire city to go fill in the gaps. And the key thing here is, do we trust one another? These people didn't really know each other. Or maybe they did at some. I promise you, they had problems with each other, just like any group of people do. Some people annoyed other people. Some people, you know, had great relationships and loved to be around each other. You don't always get to work right next to the person you like the best, and you can't guarantee you're not going to work next to the person you can't stand. Come on now. Come on now. This is real life. You go to work, you're like, if it wasn't for that one guy, right? I mean, I've been on job sites where some guys, they don't want to even call you by your own name. They make up all kinds of crazy names for you and derogatory names and who the heck. I mean, I can't even tell you like half the things people have called me in the workplace, right? It's not nice. And that's not the best thing. I mean, all of you guys, you all go out there. I know what it's like. And sometimes it's a challenge. And you have that one employee that maybe you're managing and they just drive you crazy and they never stop talking and they're not on task and whatever, right? And you're pulling double the load and they're over there slacking and dragging their heels. And you can't guarantee you're going to be next, but you can control how you're going to behave. How are you going to build the wall? How are you going to set the temperature, the tempo for the pace of how your family is going to interact with other families in your neighborhood and on your block? And how are you going to build the kingdom of God when you're in the workplace? What are you going to do? That's determined purely and solely on your character. And for us to do that together in unity, to have what he says back here when in chapter, or forward here in chapter 6, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained. That no gaps remained. And then all of a sudden everybody gives up, and later in the story, they all just give up. But how can we build a wall as a church? How can we build a church in unity that has no gaps? It's built on three main things, I believe. Three main things. We have to build trust. Trust, unity is developed out of trust. And if we want that trust, we have to have three main things. The first one is we have to develop godly communication with one another. Godly communication. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. You guys still with me? All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1. We have it up here, don't we? Yay, good. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Can we just take a pause right there? Always be humble and gentle. I'm not the most gentle creature on the planet of my original nature. Amen. My orientation as a human being is not very gentle. But through the kingdom life, through Christ working in me, if I start from the starting place of humility, which is where all growth comes from, humility, all godly communication comes from humility. If you cannot have godly communication, if you don't have humility, you're done. If you know it all, you have it all, you've seen it all, and you're always right, you're done. You will get nowhere. Okay, so first, the bedrock of our character is built in humility. It's how we say, God, you're God, I'm not. I choose you, your Lord, your master. That's humbling yourself. That's the beginning of humility, is when we make Jesus the Lord of our life. Okay? Then, when we're willing to go out and work together to close all the gaps in our wall, we have to first start with humility so we can have a starting place to actually end up somewhere that is constructive for both of us, for all of us. But if we're always right, and communication is about winning, right? If communication is about winning, then we've already lost. If communication is about being right, then we've already lost. Because communication is designed by God to be about righteousness, being in right standing with one another, not being right. So communication that is focused on getting to clarity, not victory. Are you with me? We need to have communication that's focused on getting to clarity, not victory. That's communication that's birthed in humility. Not you get to the end and you're like, I said everything I need to say and I win. Because I backed you into a corner and you can't say anything else that can defeat what I said, I win. What I told him. You walk away and say, well, I told them exactly how we're supposed to be. You lost. You lose because you lose unity. You walk away and burned a gate. You left a gap in the wall. Listen, our unity depends on our humility. Depends on our humility. We must be able to first desire to work through our relational differences and be able to come together and close those gaps through godly community, godly character, and godly communication. All right, make every, or I'll back up just a little bit. I stopped at humble and gentle. Good night. Being gentle to one another. That means we don't speak harshly to one another. God help me. Be patient. God help me again. I'm a major driver. I like to rock and roll. I go fast everywhere I go, except for when I'm driving, because I always drive the speed limit most of the time. Be patient with each other. Making allowances for each other's faults. Can you believe that's in the Bible? You're like, no! I don't want to hear it. It's in there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and verse 3. Come on now. Make allowances for each other. That means when people screw up, it's okay. I'm going to extend some mercy to you because God extended a lot of mercy to me. I'm going to extend some mercy to you. It's all right. I'm going to make an allowance for you not to be perfect. So we're going to stay in relationship even though you're not perfect. I'm going to keep going to this church even though it's not perfect. Even though the pastor's not perfect. Right? Come on. That's not why we go to church. That's not why we build together. That's not why we're building a wall. We're here to transform this city, to see God be glorified and people come to know him and people be discipled. That doesn't really have anything to do with how much we like each other. It has to do with where we're called, where we're committed to, where are we going to root in and keep building a wall. If you like come in and you think about building the wall, and you're like, well, I don't like that person. He smells bad. This person smells bad. I'm not doing the dung gate thing. No way. I don't like fish. Fish gate. No, that's not me. I'm out of here. Right? I've been watching too much Cars, listening to Mater too much lately. Make every effort. This is a hard one. Okay. Make room for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Let's challenge ourselves. Let's look in the mirror. Most of the time, you hear me say this before, you know, when there's a problem, we want to look through the window and find out who the problem is. And when there's a success, we want to look in the mirror. Hey, you're looking pretty good. Let's reverse that. God calls us to live in humility and consider others before ourselves, Philippians 2, right? To not have any vain conceit, to walk in humility like Christ, Philippians 2, right? That we're to look in the window when there's a success. Look at what all of you did. We're a great church because you committed, not because I'm so great, because you committed and you're building it and you make this place a family. When I hear people come in and go, man, I feel at home, that's not because of me. That's because of all of you. I'm not the first one that they meet and see when they come into our church or right or out in the workplace. I'm not there with you. That's you. That's us. And that's our victory and it's your victory. But man, when we start looking in the mirror at like, am I making every effort to live at peace? Man, am I making every effort to keep myself united in the Spirit, binding myself together with peace with all the believers? Am I doing that? Every effort? You wake up every day, you go look at that wall to go around and build it. I'm going to close that gap. Are you making every effort? Look in the mirror now and ask yourself. You don't got to raise your hand. You don't have to tell me. But I know what I'm doing. And I look at that and I go, sheesh, I need to get my groove on, right? My hair's out of place when I look in the mirror. You know, I need to brush my teeth. There's a little hygiene I need to clean up on. I need to keep walking in humility, try to close those gaps. What about you? What do you need to do? How do you build in one family? How do we do this? If you bolt, you don't ever get to do this. If you get up and you just bolt out of a community, you don't root in, you can never live this way. It's one of the things I respect about this church is that there are members of this church who have been here for 40 years, 50 years. That's a heck of a deal. Been through everything you can imagine pretty much. Because this 50 years, pretty much everything happens. We're people, right? All right, so do everything you can do to bind together. This is verse 4. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. How far are we going on this? That's good enough. You can take that one off. Verse 13, it says this. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Man, there's something about our maturity that when we work together, right? That we find when we work on our character, we bind together, it begins to grow us up. When we don't just leave, when we leave, we get arrested development. We stop developing. Our development goes in prison. But when we work together and we get out and we work every single day on our wall to close those gaps and to build the kingdom together, then all of a sudden, when we're working side by side with others, that, taking on that responsibility and forcing ourselves to be in unity with one another, that causes us to be mature. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown around with every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever and that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. What's your job as part of the body of Christ? To help the other parts, say it, grow. What are you doing when you get out and you look at your part of the gate and you look out there in front of your gaps? Are you helping the other parts grow? It's a very simple way to look at your life. Are you doing everything you do to keep it in peace? Are you doing everything you can do to close a gap and make unity? Everything you can do. And are you doing everything you can do to help other people grow? Or is it, well, I'm not growing. I need to make sure I'm growing. What's about my growth? And I need to make sure this person's doing it for me and everybody doing that for me. Last week I was praying through, the glorious thing called narcissism, right? where the universe surrounds around you. And it's like, I am the sun, and everything revolves around me. Again, if you find yourself talking about you all the time, and it's all about you and your story and your thing, then you probably need to start asking God, how can I grow up and mature in you? And look at the other parts, and how does my part help them grow? Right? How do I close gaps and make things better and make allowances for other people when they're not doing the best? They're not, life is hard for them. How do I do that? So that the whole body may be healthy. In order for our church to be healthy and growing and full of love, we all have to be doing this. You with me? We all have to take this as our personal responsibility to protect our city walls. Protect us as a community so that we all can trust one another. So we start with our communication to build trust. And the goal is clarity, not victory, right? And then we focus on our commitments to one another if we want to build trust. Are we committed together? If we don't, say, look, I'm going to that section of the wall. I'm going to be there until the day runs out. And I promise you I'm going to be there. And the guy behind us says, listen, I'm going with you. I'm bringing my sword, and I'm going to make sure if some joker runs over the wall, you're not going to get killed. I got your back. And I'm going to trust he's behind me. That's all built on the commitment. First, we communicate to clarity, not victory. Instead, we come up, and then next we go to follow through and make genuine commitments of sacrifice for myself, for the greater of the community, to close that gap. And that builds trust. When that guy behind me, he's really there, and I'm building, some joker comes over the wall like, ah, tries to shoot an arrow at me. He jumps up, and he takes him out. Tonight, that built trust. He followed through with his commitment. He said he would do it. He said what he would do, and he was where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be there, and he had my back. And that follow through with commitment builds trust. And the last piece that we need to do in trust is we have to open our hearts of trust. Most all of us have had our trust broken. We've had our trust bucket. You know, there's a trust bucket that we fill up when people do this. They build trust with us. They say they're going to do something, and they follow through and they do it. It builds trust when they fall through their commitments. But sometimes they can make a decision and not fall through, and it kicks that trust bucket over, and everything that was in it spills out. Right? That trust account, man, that needs to be precious to our community, where we develop that trust with one another and build it up like it's the most precious thing, because it's what causes those gaps to close in our relationships with our spouses. When there's a breakdown of trust, then we stop communicating, and we stop committing, and we start to have distance, and we get real small, and we protect ourselves, and we just get really isolated into our own thing. But when there creates this giant gap and chasm. But when we start to communicate and say, no, I want more. I want trust. I want peace. I want unity. I want a love. I want intimacy in our relationship. We start to communicate about those things, and we start to close that gap. Then we start to follow through with commitments and adjustments we both need to make so that we can live in peace and in harmony with one another, right? This works with our kids. This works with our families. This works in the workplace. This works in our churches. It's a very practical part of how God just called us to let love reign in every area. Love is what builds up the church. Love is what builds up the church. More love. You want more? I like that song. More love, more power, right? More of you in my life. That's what it's all about. More of Jesus, who is love, God, who is love, the Holy Spirit, who is love, in my life. That intimacy with him, that relationship with him, is what causes that thing to ignite and grow. I'm going to prove it to you, Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to close with this passage right here. In verse 8, though I am least deserving of all of God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church. Who's the church? Us. To use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Just pause for a moment. All of the diversity it talks about in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, in Ephesians 4. The diversity of the body, but how God made each part to serve one another and create tremendous unity. And one part can't say to the other part, I don't need you. We all need one another. All of that is displayed in God's church. He called us to be a church. God instituted it. And yeah, we haven't done it perfect. But God wants us to live and work together and close the gaps and trust one another and live in love and make allowances for one another in such a powerful way that the church displays his wisdom in such rich diversity, rich variety. We can be so different, but in the common bond of Christ, we can build a great city, a great wall. We can make a great nation. We can make a great impact where people look in and go, how can you be so different but still love each other so much? How is that possible? Listen, what we do in church becomes commonplace to us. It seems so normal. But to the world outside of us, it's crazy. It baffles the mind. Many of us would never be caught in a room together if it wasn't for Jesus. We're just not into the same stuff. Like, I'd drive y'all crazy talking about the Seahawks and golfing. You'd be all like, amen. My wife goes, amen. Amen. It wasn't for Jesus. Nah, she loves me. She puts up with that stuff because she loves me, right? But that's why. That's why we're together, because we want to see something great. And it gives God the glory when he takes this unbelievable amount of diversity, all building the same thing, to all the people around look and see when it's operating the way it ought to, they go, that is special. I want that. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Verse 14. Well, I'll just read this because it's so good. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here, for I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father. The Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power and work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Will you stand with me? Forever and ever. Amen. Come on, right? Man, there is nothing. Can you turn those back to where they were just a second ago? That's a little too dark for me. There we go. Forever and ever, God is working his love inside of each one of us so we can be a holy house, a spiritual house of a living stones all built together to close in all the gaps, right? What are you doing? What am I doing? What are we all doing individually to cause others to grow every single day? Every single day. Not every other day, not once a week, but every single day. Protecting one another against gossip and slander. Right? When you hear people talk about our leadership team, what do? You should get out your sword and you say, yo, don't mess with my church. It's my city.
These are my walls. Those are my peeps. Get out your sword and say that. Not on my watch. I don't want to hear it. La, 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 la. I don't want to see it. Nah. Come on, right? There's a time to be, to fight and protect. Good shepherd's got a cane, right? Beat off the wolves. Don't allow that in love. Don't allow those kinds of things to be said among us. Somebody's talking about your friend. Don't listen. Say, look, what are you doing to reconcile that relationship? The Bible says you're supposed to go one on one. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, nah. I don't want to hear that. Now that's protecting one another. You're closing a gap. When you do that for me, that helps build trust with me. When I do that for you, that helps build trust with you. Pastor's got my back. You got my back. I got your back. Right? Sometimes you're building. You're out there working and you make a mistake. You drop a brick on somebody's foot. They're like, oh, they dropped a brick on my foot. It's all swollen up. Look. And they come talk to me. Oh, you know, Chris dropped a brick on my foot and it's all swollen up and he's so mean and he doesn't like me and then he put mortar on my eyes and I can't see anymore. He's so bad. And all he did was slip and fall and accidentally mud his trowel over your eyes and then knocked a brick off on your foot. It's an accident. Right? Yeah, that happened to you. I get it. I'm sorry that your eyes are mudded over and your foot is broken. Okay. But if you come to me and I go, wait a second. I don't know about all the facts and everything, but have you talked to Chris? Have you worked this out with him? Because I don't want to hear about all of it because I don't know. That's not between me and you and him and create this drama triangle. Listen, in relationships, if you have a triangle in your relationship, you've got a problem. Relationships in genuine trust are designed to be in straight lines. Me to you. And if I have a problem, I go me to you to another person. And they come, but I'm in a line. He goes there. I go from me to you through to him. That's one line. But if it starts going like this, I'm like, well, Kiss, you should hear the things my wife is saying about blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, we've got ourselves a triangle going. That's called drama with a capital D. Run. You've got to live that way. No one said you have to live in a drama triangle. Stop doing it. With victims and persecutors and rescuers all the time. One person rescuing another person, listening to their plights and woes. And then somebody's the big hero. Stop it. Man, let's live with no gaps. Let's live in trust. Let's live in unity, right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you that you have a way of causing us to just fall madly in love with you and be able to live with people that are so diverse and so different and unlike us. And we can live that way in peace and in harmony, God. And we're asking that your peace and your harmony would just pour out on this church and your love would abound inside of each one of us, God. And you'd give us courage to close the gaps and get out and go to work and reconcile with our brothers and repent and walk in humility. God, and not desire victory in our communication, but clarity and unity and peace. Lord, we love you. There's none like you. Jesus, you're lifted up in this place. And we ask that God, your Holy Spirit will reign in love in this place and reign in our lives as we go out and fulfill the Great Commission. God, to just make disciples that are madly in love with you and know how to love one another. God, we pray that your peace will pour out on our church. And God, we just thank you for that you came. And God, that you came as a baby and you came to love us. And we're going to celebrate you this Christmas. And we're going to celebrate big with you this Christmas. And we're going to love you giant this year, God. We're going to just give you everything in our hearts, God. And truly glorify you and not get lost in the season. God, we're going to truly make you Lord. As we love one another in a practical way. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, church. Be blessed. If you need prayer, please come to the front. You want to make Jesus the Lord of your life? We want to pray with you. Find anybody or come up here and we'll pray with you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.